Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapters 4 and 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
So they stole some things and they swear they take the Lord's name in vain. Many times do you see that? You ever taken the name of the Lord in anger? Man, it's everywhere, isn't it? GD this and JC that in a swear word. And the Bible says, my enemies take my name in vain. I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain. I'm sorry, that ought to set your lips on fire if you have that, because God says that's a big deal. It's one of the first ones that he mentions, you know, worship the Lord thy God and him only shalt thou serve. Don't make any images and don't take his name in vain. Those are big deals. So I say to you, as you look at that scroll's ominous. It's got seals. And when it's unfurled, it's going to be representative of judgment. We know that because there are, you know, seven seals, and the seventh seal is the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet is the seventh vials. It's all in there. It's all the curses that are coming on the earth. And the Bible says that there's going to be no escaping it in those days of Zechariah. There will be no escaping it in our day. Because it says it shall consume the midst of these people's house. Do you feel like the devil's getting in your house now? Do you feel like they're pressing you now? Are they up in your face? Are they up in your face right now? They are. I read a quote by a group of doctors. They said, masks are not about caution. They're about control. That's doctors who say this. Even Fauci said they don't do much. And you go back to pre-March of last year, Fauci was even saying, and I'm telling you, you can't wear enough masks. And if it's that bad, then those masks ought to be put in a hazard bin when they get done with them. It's what they do in a hospital. No, you can't have this nonsense. But this is what it's saying. They're going to get what they have coming to them. It's going to creep into their space, and it's going to consume their timber, and it's going to consume their houses. So now we have a little bit of a feeling of what this scroll is all about. It's not all of it. It's also related to a passage in Jeremiah where Jeremiah was told to go and buy some land, and he got a title deed and he had to go put it and bury it and after some time come back and get it. But again, we'll get to the title deed part of this later. Verse 2 says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Who is worthy? And no man was found in heaven or in earth or under the earth that was able to open the book, neither to look at the book. No one was able. And I wept much. Now, I just want to say, this is amazing right here because he's in heaven. The Bible says, in your presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And he is weeping much. The amplification of the emotion of this moment can't be understated. He's trying to tell you, I didn't just cry. I didn't just tear up. I was weeping much. Because no one was able to take that book and do with it what needed to be done. In verse 5 it says, and one of the elders says, weep not. Because the lion, there's your next star. You have the book, you have the lion, star by the lion. He says, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. It's important to note that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's the root of David. Root means David came from him, not that he came from David. He's the root of David because he's the king. Ultimately, God is the author of it all here. And he says, he hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders. You see how we're a crowd. We're with them. Okay? It's amazing. These are humans that were redeemed from every nation, people, tribe, and tongue. And he says, in the midst of the elders, there stood a lamb. The lion is a lamb. Now, that's an amazing thing that he has both of these features. And the reason he's depicted as a lamb is because he became the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He became the sin bearer. Just as the Bible talks about the Passover in the days of the Egyptian bondage, this is what Jesus was. And even John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which takes away, when he crashed at some hill and the Spirit's descended upon him. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he did it once for all. The Bible says he died for our sins, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So rain on all those who would say, limited atonement. There's no limitation to this. Whosoever will may come. You're the only one who chooses where you're going to spend eternity. And you can decide you're going to deny. You can decide you're going to sidestep. You're going to decide you read it once and you don't need to know anymore. You can decide anything you want to deceive yourself. But the only one that can keep you out of heaven is you. Because the Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, there's a history behind who the Lord is and all that. If you don't even know who it is, you go, "Lord, Lord, save me." That's not going to do. You need to know what He did. You need to know what He said. And what He did was He died, He was buried, and He rose again the third day for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And what He said was, "Whoever shall call upon me shall be saved." You've got to believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and it's not enough to believe He simply rises in our hearts. He rose from the dead physically and bodily. These are absolutes that we have to believe. And that's the gospel, the good news. He conquered death. The Bible says in verse 5 that He hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals. And in verse 6 it says, "And I beheld in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb having seven eyes who was slain." He was as a lamb that was slain. And now he says, "In the midst is one who is standing." And in verse 7 it says, "And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne." Now, to get the connection of sitting on the throne and him being on the throne a minute ago, the Bible says to the churches, he says, "I will grant you to sit with me on my throne as my Father hath granted me to sit with him on his throne." Okay, so there is no confusion if you begin to put all these pieces together. Just like you and I are seated with Christ in Ephesians, we're told, in the heavenly places, we're positionally already right there with Him above those principalities. The Bible says He came and He took the book. And in verse 8 it says, "And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down." Now, guys, listen. When you're amplifying just a couple of people, because there's thousands upon thousands here. We're going to see it in a minute. There's all kinds of onlookers. There's angels and all kinds of stuff going on here. But right here, the 24 elders are there. And the four beasts. So you got those seraphim. Now remember the seraphim. Seraphim are those that were in Isaiah, right? They're two wings, they fly. Two wings, they cover their face. Two wings, they cover their feet. The concept is that the word is unique. Seraphim, why is it unique? Or how is it unique? It's unique in that the word means burning ones. Think about that. Why are they burning ones? Because they're right up close, man. They're leaning in. God's glory's there, and they're just like, "Man, I can't get close enough." But we're there. Okay, just think about that. Nobody else could be there, but the 24 elders are there, and the four living creatures are there, and they are burning ones. And they run those clouds, as it were, the canopy and so forth, because we see them in that position many places elsewhere. Verse 7 says, "He came and He took the book. And when He did that, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." We're going to see that incense altar again later. But right here, remember, this is the prayers of the saints. These are their prayers. Who are they? They're the saints. And those are their prayers. They have them with them. And it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy." Now, I want to just kind of back up a second and get you to think in terms of something very powerful here. You have heard people look at this whole idea of sitting on a cloud somewhere and playing a harp. Well, the word is lyre, and the idea of a, you know, like a stringed instrument. I don't know about you. I know Mark loves his guitar. Okay, he's got a couple of them. I don't know how many. He's got a couple of them, but I know he's got some nice ones. But he can entertain himself for hours with that thing. And if you play piano, you can entertain yourself with hours. But listen, now we got this harp and we got this song going on. "Be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, singing and making melody." You will sing perfectly on pitch. You will have a song and you're going to be playing and you're going to be singing and it's going to be awesome. And everybody's going to intuitively know exactly when to come in and when to stand down and when to rise and when to lower. And it's going to engulf you. This is glory. Do not miss that you will be able to look at that thing and play it. Okay? Because you'll understand intuitively. You'll have perfect knowledge, a glorified body, and an ability beyond anything you ever thought possible. It's going to be a good day. The Bible says that when he took that book, and when he was able to stand there holding that book, when nobody could even look upon that book, the Bible says that every one of them had their harps, they had their prayers, and they sung a song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain," here it is, "and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Who are the elders? They are the church. They are the saints. They have the prayers of the saints, the incense of the saints, which the incense in the Old Testament was a shadow. The incense altar stood right before the great veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And when those odors were stirred up and continued to be maintained, it would seep in through into the in behind the veil that no man but the high priest once a year could go into. It's amazing the beauty of what God has done. It's a continuum that makes totally the most sense of anything you can possibly imagine. You see, you and I are the ones who get this. We get this. This is ours. This is our book. But it's the field manual for the lost. But here we are. Where are we in the tribulation? We're in heaven. Where are we in the tribulation? We're around the throne. Where are we when he takes the book and begins to break the seals? Right here. We're here. Redeemed from every nation, people, and tribe, and tongue. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We're there. Not halfway through. Not at the end and boom and down and up and back and bouncing around. We're there. And the beauty of this time is that it's 7 years. And in the history of Israel, what would happen is that when the bridegroom cometh, he would come and he would take his bride in a time she wouldn't even know he was coming. Remember, that's why they had the 10 virgins. They're all sitting there waiting, and 5 were foolish and they ran out of oil, and 5 were wise. They kept oil in store. And when they came, when the bridegroom came, he took the bride and he took him into his prepared home. And they were there 7 days. 7 days. Not 6, not 5, 4, 3.5. 7 days. And after the consummation of the wedding, they would come back for the wedding supper. They'd come back for the reception. They'd get married. They'd have their nuptials and under all the stuff that was to be enjoyed in that 7 days. And then they would come back and they would have their reception. That's what's happening in this book. We're there. We're in there. That's important for you to know. And why do I amplify it? Because you are living in a time right now where the world is filled with deception. This is a world of deception. You read it with me a couple weeks back when we went through 2 Thessalonians. They're not even going to go forth to deceive and doing lying wonders and deceiving. But God is going to send strong deception or strong delusion too. He's going to say, why? So that they might go on believing the lie. Because they refuse to receive the love of the truth. That's why. The Bible says, you have redeemed us. So in chapter 4, you have him being told, you are worthy. Because you've created everything. Here they're saying, you are worthy because you redeemed us. These two chapters are covering all the bases. The Bible says, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Don't ever forget, the gift was paid for.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.